We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, we are recording this at 8 p.m. after the California Classic game where the Warriors lost to Miami Heat, but before the Team USA game against Australia. You know what? I think summer hoops is underrated. I think I might like summer hoops more than regular season NBA hoops.
Just to disgusting. I think it's
more enjoyable. Like, playoff NBA hoop is a different level of enjoyment, but give me the hype of Jonathan Kuminga Moses Moody. Shout out Modi Moses. Give me that over Tuesday night against Orlando when no one's trying and we're just kind of bitter we have to watch it.
All right, that's where we're starting. By the way, I'm in a great mood. This is going to be an amazing podcast because this is one of the better nights that we've had in a long time. I'm with you in that when you get the hype of these players, like James Wiseman last season, we didn't see him in the preseason or anything, but we saw him in the regular season and how great was that? And this is kind of like great, that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do feel for James Wiseman that he didn't get a summer league. I mean, everything about his rookie year was awkward, right down to like draft November 18th.
COVID protocols.
Camp a week later, in COVID protocol during camp, just kind of what a mess. This isn't even a perfect camp because they're doing this stuff like, you know, a month later. So there's just less summertime for it to work on, but this is close enough. We'll take it.
Yeah. One of the most fun games. Now, you know, push back a little bit. Summer league basketball is awful basketball, to be fair. But
I'm not comparing it to the NBA finals.
But even regular basketball, I just don't like watching. That's why I don't watch college hoops anymore. But not the point. The point here is I had low standards coming in to some of these guys. But I mean, tonight was I felt like I was 18 again watching some of these. You know, when the Warriors used to have any of these prospects coming in. I mean, like, I felt like I was watching Ike Diagu, and Ike Diagu never made it. I'm not saying these guys are Ike Diagu, but it is always so cool. Anthony Randolph is the easy one, where you just see the talent and the potential in summer league, and you're just, I don't know what to say. It's inspiring, Sam. It's inspiring.
I think, and I really don't want to make this about Wiseman, but I think these are the most exciting prospects I've seen the Warriors have since 2012. So let's get into it. So let's start with Jonathan Kuminga, the number seven pick. I think I've watched him more than you have. Walk me through what you were expecting and then what you saw.
Yeah, I think just watching now, for me, I watch basically the scouting highlights, everything in G League. I didn't watch every game. I watched like the first two games. That's about it. What I was expecting was someone that didn't know how to play basketball. I was expecting someone to make a ton of mistakes. I was also expecting someone that was going to be more athletic than anyone else. So to me, I was expecting and some incredible flashes. And I was expecting someone that's going to be like James Wiseman, but a different position. Just he's going to be a wing guy with the ball in his hands a little bit more, But on some plays, he's going to be fantastic. It's going to look like he's all NBA. And on some plays, he won't. And so what I saw today was a little bit more than that. What I saw was he did all those things. Like, he made dumb passes. He really, it looked like sometimes he didn't know what he was doing out there. He was a little nervous, obviously. But he also had this streak about him that made me feel he's just not scared. He's not scared to play basketball, in my opinion, it looks like, against anyone. If you dropped him into a game with NBA players, he's going to make mistakes. He's not going to be good. I'm not saying he's going to help, but he's not scared. That was my takeaway with Kuminga tonight.
Yeah, so I want to get into his game, but that is a great starting point. He thinks he's going to be a star, and he carries himself like a star.
Oh, yeah.
And we can get into all the mistakes later, but I don't see a role player here. I see a dude who's like, I'm going to be up there with Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, and like whatever, all the best swing wings in the league. And I'm not stopping myself there. The confidence, the bravado, the physicality he played with sticks out. I think of two other wings, young wings we've seen on the Warriors, Harrison Barnes and Andrew Wiggins. I don't think either of them carry themselves the way Kuminga does. And they're both good players, different players. But like, I'm not sure either of them have some of the physical tools he has, like the combination of strength and explosiveness.
And you said handle too.
Exactly. But I don't think either of them carry themselves with that self-confidence either. So yeah, getting into the game, my thoughts on Kuminga were the handle is better than everyone on the on the NBA roster who's not named like Steph, Jordan, Poole, or Draymond. Like he definitely wants to be a playmaker. And
he made some passes. Like he tried turnovers, but he tried.
Yeah, he recognized them. He just could not place them where they needed to go.
Yeah,
which is
just fine.
Why I don't like the wing Wiseman thing, because I'm like, Wiseman doesn't know what's going on the floor around him. Kuminga knows what's going on the floor, but I'm not sure he has refined his skills enough to execute what he wants to do. Just early impressions here. Like he saw the passes he wanted to make, but he threw it a little too high. He threw it into traffic. Yeah, exactly. Or late. Exactly. Yep. That type of stuff. Whereas Wiseman, he didn't even see the pass. He was just trying to dunk the ball every time. Right. Like that's a subtle difference between the two of them. Right.
Yeah. I also felt another difference was the physicality. You mentioned it. There were a couple possessions. I also think like the calmness and the physicality, he's not just running over guys and getting charges, right? He's not doing like premeditated Euro steps. He had a move. One of his first buckets is where he did a Euro step, but it was slow. It was composed. He went through contact and then he laid it up. And I'm like, that's a 24-year-old NBA player move, right? And now he also has some plays where he looks like he's never played before. But that move right there, I never see, like Andrew Wiggins does that move like once every, 3 weeks? Right. Like he does that move once. And the first 5 minutes of Kuminga, I'm like, holy crap. What did I just see? Like this is a guy that he relishes contact. That I think that's huge, too. He likes it. It seems like he enjoys it.
Yeah. In the infamous Joe Lacob interview where he's talking, you know, about everyone. The one thing he said was this guy likes to get downhill, likes to get to the rim, likes contact. And I personally love that because that's the number one thing. The only player who does that is Steph Curry. And I'm not sure I really want Steph throwing.
And he might. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
But like Wiggins turned himself into a useful player, does not like to play with physical force, right? That's not who he is.
Yes.
Draymond, physical on defense, not so much on, you know, in totally terms different. Of taking it to the cup and trying to finish through traffic. Klay, obviously not. I mean, they don't have anyone. They really haven't had anyone other than Kevin Durant in the last decade who might do that on a consistent.
And you're right. Like KD wasn't really that type of player. Like when you think of that type of player, that's like Giannis. It's like that. Like he's that type of guy. KD, guys like KD and AD, they're just too skilled. They can just go right. LeBron's like that. Like he's going right through you. Too
Kawhi,
physical.
Yeah.
Kawhi. Right through you. Too physical. Hey. Kawhi comparison with come on now. I know you love that one, but it was special. It was special to watch him. I'm happy to be wrong. He is a lot further than I thought. You shot me a text I want to say 3-4 days ago saying you thought maybe Kuminga is going to be a little bit further along than people thought. And I was just like, okay, we'll wait and see. And I think tonight kind of showed, you know, he might take some steps back. And again, Wiseman was superb his first three games too.
Right.
But it looks like he's further along than I personally thought. I thought he was going to be a few years playing. He might be out there playing some basketball, maybe not winning basketball, but he might be out there playing basketball this season.
So you hit on one other point that we didn't really get to, which is he's got a grown man body. It's like a bigger version of Anthony Edwards last year, where you're like, all right, he's definitely a work in progress, but it helps that guys can't push him around because he's already like 220 pounds. In Kuminga's case, I wouldn't be surprised if he's 230, you know, like he's only going to get stronger, but he's got a pretty strong frame and a ridiculous one for a teenager, right? That type of thing. So I'm super curious with the new development staff and the need for wing minutes, what they're going to do with him, because he wants to be a star. You can watch him play, like some of the shots, some of the attacking the rim, some of that stuff. It's like, that's not stuff a dude who is planning to just stand in the corner and defend does, you know?
Oh, no, that's
and brutal. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they rein him in, because he's not ready to play that superstar role on a team that's winning this year. Like, he's not ready to do that, but they have to get something out of it. They have to figure out a way to make him productive while also developing him for the future. And that's been something they've struggled with.
Yeah. And you make a good point, the coaching stuff. Before we, because that is key too, and that works out well for the rest of the guys. Two notes. Number one, the highlight of the night was him going fast break transition, left hand or right hand crossover, and just jumping head to the rim. I mean, just ridiculous LeBron type of athleticism. Who on the team can do that right now? Andrew Wiggins once every 2 months. So that was awesome to see. And then number two, he played small ball five tonight. I like it. The Warriors are Chris Weems and this front office is going to say,
I mean, this part of that summer league, you know, everyone's playing down a position in summer league because no one's playing through the post.
I like it. I like the thought process. This is where the NBA is kind of headed, right?
You're right. He might be more of a four than a three in the NBA. But like, ultimately, the hope is he's a positionless big wing, right?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He protect the rim. He had some possessions where he was swatting the rim. He fell right on his back, which I was like, oh my goodness. That happened.
Shout out friend of the show, Dr. Nirav Pandya, saying he jumps with great technique, which means minimal risk of injury, which is what I want to hear. No more injuries.
Yeah. Elite Dr. Nirav takes. We can't give you that analysis for sure. So
Dr. Anley only made it through year three of medical school.
Didn't make it through middle school. So I think there's defensive. We talk a lot about offense tonight, but there is, I think, some defensive talent that he may be able to start with. I mean, like Wiseman, right? Like Wiseman had some defensive talent there too. He needs a lot of work, but I mean, they've got the size and athleticism to be very good defenders in the long term. So good coming to start.
We'll get to this. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm most excited about him of all the prospects on the Warriors, including Wiseman, just because this is a league dominated by wings. And this is a league dominated by wings who are just like versatile and can do everything. Kuminga's got a way to go to be that, but he does have a little bit of everything to be one of those type of dudes one day. And for me, that makes it him the prospect I would want to protect the most. It just makes it really exciting. I'm very aware of the fact he's probably going to be really frustrating to watch year one, particularly in context of a team with Steph Curry and Draymond Green, who have aspirations of going deep in the playoffs. They're not interested in dropping games so Jonathan Kuminga can explore, you know, his boundaries, right? So like, he's gonna have some frustrating moments this year, but like I think he's the most talented player the Warriors have drafted in the last decade. And I am excited to see what comes of him over the next few years.
I think, hold on, before we move on to Moody, that's a great point. That's where, you know, a lot of my buddies texted me and they said, you know, you're not in on Kuminga. Why not? And I go, even if he plays well, it'll be frustrating because he's not going to help the team win now. And I get it. I get the potential. I see it. And I think that's where I'm optimistic, but I'm also saying, I just want better players around Steph this season, Draymond and Clay. And that's where my frustration. And I think that's fair. while at the same time, Sam, I'm with you. Like watching this game, I was just like, holy shit. This is special stuff.
I think a lot of people have a hard time. And when I say a lot of people, I mean people who push back on you and me on Twitter. They don't understand that like you can hold both of those views at the same time. You can be really enamored with the potential of Kuminga and want to watch him and all that sort of stuff. And also realize number 30, that's a once in a 30-year player right there. Yeah. You should probably do what you can to put him in the best situation possible. So I don't know. I liked what I saw today, even with the turnovers and everything. I'm just curious to see what this new development staff can do to maybe if they could turn him into a 3-and-D role player the way that Jaylen Brown and stuff was, I'll be thrilled because I know in 3 years he's going to be averaging 25. You know, I don't need him to average 25 yet. I need him to play a solid two-way game, average 10 points, and he can throw up 30 on OKC when Steph sits. You know, that's what I want to see.
Segue alert, because I think the next guy that I'm in love with, and this is the guy I was most happy about tonight, I think can play that role this season. Moses Moody, I thought was incredible. He might be my fourth favorite player on this team behind Steph, Clay, and Draymond. It's just, unless Iguodala resigns, I love him. He seems like he's been playing in the NBA for 6 years, and he's going to be playing in the NBA in 20. Like, he is, you know how I love Otto Porter? You know, when he was at his peak, like Moses Moody just reeks of Otto Porter, and hopefully with a little bit more upside. But tonight, I mean, the shot was great. I also think the way he moved off ball was open. They missed him open for at least 5-3, Sam, because it's summer league and they're playing with a bunch of ball hoggers.
By the way, he went 7 of 18, even in that process.
Should have shot 28 times. I just love him. I thought he was great. I thought he was great offensively. He's a great ball mover. He knows where to be. He seems always open. He's also the type of guy who also seems to always get loose balls. Like that's another thing.
So
like Draymond.
I have two thoughts. One, I've been trying to calm you down on the Moody hype. I've been trying to say, teenager dude, I see the vision, but we got to be a little realistic with it. But every time I watch him, I'm like, not only does he talk like he's 25, he kind of plays like he's 25. Like he knows how to space out around guys. He doesn't do the Kelly Oubre thing where he runs into Steph off ball by mistake. He knows exactly how to flare to a spot 5 feet away from someone, so the spacing's perfect, you know, or 10 feet or whatever it may be. He has good recognition. He catches the ball. He sees if someone else is open, he moves it. Or if no one else is open, he'll put it up. That stroke is pretty. It's going to go down. I don't really worry.
Right.
We didn't talk about this with Kuminga. Kuminga's got to straighten out that shot a little bit.
Yeah.
Moody, I don't care if he shoots 30% in summer league. That thing's going down. There's Klay Thompson, and then there's a tier below, and Moody's in that tier below in terms of like, that is shot. A jump shot that can go in 40% of the time on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
It's a pretty shot. Now the thing that really impressed me was what you were saying. He had 4 offensive rebounds, and he felt like he was everywhere he needed to be. He felt somewhere in between a Danny Green and a Chris Middleton, where you're like, this dude just makes winning plays. Yeah. This dude just, loose ball, I'm there. They close out hard. I can drive it to where I need to. I'll put it up. Whether it's in or not, it's the right shot, which is the most important thing. Like, I just don't like guys who set, like, our biggest frustration with Draymond is like, you know, you should take that layup. What are you doing? You know, like that sort of stuff. Yep. Moody sends a vibe of like, makes the right basketball play repeatedly. And then defensively, it's summer league. No one's really playing defense, but I feel confident he'll come around on that. On that end. I'm with you. I will be surprised if Moses Moody is not like a Danny Green, where you're just like this. He's just on winning teams.
He's Danny Green, elite 3-and-D. Yeah. So that is a high bar. It is a high bar.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking about like, I mean, Dave Dufour, our friend of the show, loves Danny Green. He's always like, if you want to win, you got to have a Danny Green on your team. And that's what like Moses Moody looks like.
Yeah.
Like Kuminga looks like the superstar. Moses Moody looks like the guy who just continues to make winning plays over and over again.
Like, if you told me, yeah, agreed. If you told me to pick one guy that I think is going to play in the NBA for 10 years, I'm picking Moses Moody versus Kuminga. Obviously, if you told me to pick
Kuminga,
a guy that
Kuminga could be a superstar, he could also flame out. Yeah.
Yeah. He could be out in, you know, Deion Waiters out in 2 years. Unlikely, at least after tonight. Unlikely. I don't think so. Right. But with Moody, it's even defensively, though, it just he just knew where to be at all times. I know it's summer league, but he's just someone just off ball. Like, Draymond's going to love him. Draymond's going to love most.
You do get the feel like, okay, he's a 19-year-old rookie. It's going to be rough when the season starts because the speed is so much faster than anything he's played at. You do get the feeling by midseason that he can probably be a rotation guy.
Yeah, I think so. Now, it's a lot to ask, but I think so. I think so. At least 10, 12, 15 minutes a game. And, you know, come playoffs, maybe not. But I definitely see it. It reminds me a little bit. And I guess one more thing about Moody is the off the dribble stuff. He's so slow where when I was watching him before the draft that I was like, God, I kind of don't want to like him. But then when you watch him, he does actually get to the spots that he wants to get to. And he missed a lot of those kind of like 8 foot. I just think of Chris Middleton always makes those shots where he gets to like 8-12 feet, then he pulls up and he cans it. Moody didn't make it. So different reasons for that, strength, speed, whatever, but he does get to his shots. He's not Kuminga. He's not exploding over the rim, but I think there may be a little bit of off the dribble stuff that he can, that's there in the future. So
I do see what you're saying. Like, no one is going to give the ball to Moses Moody at the top of the key and go 1-4 flat, go James Harden, you know, but can he be a guy who, if you close on him hard, he dribbles to a spot, you know, at the elbow and just hits it? I could see it. He doesn't, like, yes, he lacks that high-end burst, but the feel for the game of basketball and the shooting touch is just so elite. I will be surprised if he's not a guy who cannot at least exploit defenses getting on top of him a little.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of the Mikal Bridges, what we watch them do, where it's like, If guys are jumping out on you and they've got two people on Steph, then he takes a couple dribbles and gets a layup, or he shoots a, you know, 8-foot pull up jumper. And that's really all you want. You don't need the dribble Kyrie Irving, James.
We don't need everyone to be that guy, you know? So you know,
I don't know if I want anyone to be that guy.
No, but if I do, I don't want it to be
right.
Moody.
Right.
All right. Let's talk Justin and Jessup for one quick second. Ooh, and then move to, so he's going to be in Vegas as well. Based on his contract status, it's kind of like he either gets a full NBA contract or he's probably going to stick in Australia. Have you seen anything the first two games that makes you think he's going to make the roster?
Yeah, make the roster. Hard to see, right? I feel bad for him. It seems like he looks like someone when I played basketball and then I would have to play someone like D1 or someone that's like obviously like, oh, they're elite, like
a little better than Lowell High.
Yeah, like 6'5", like they're gonna play D1 hoops. And you get on the court and that team, it's like, I remember we played Piedmont and Zach Ertz was on that team, and you go on the court and all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, yeah, we're done, you know, we're done. We can try as hard as we can, we can have the game of our lives, we're losing by 25. Jessup looks petrified out there. Like, he just looks, he's not ready to play. I'm hoping, Sam, that maybe he just gets acclimated. He starts to feel the flow a little bit. A couple shots go down, right? He's missing open shots. So I think maybe he hits a couple shots, he'll be better. Summer League's probably also not his type of game. He kind of needs more of an NBA style.
No, he's a ball movement guy. That much I can tell you. Like, he's a rhythm. Like, he makes sense in the Warriors system.
He does. And he does. So I kind of feel bad for him. He probably shouldn't be on the roster, right? But I want to watch him play more. I just want to see what else he can do when he does make a couple more shots.
I have one thought, and that's the shot has to be more consistent.
Has to be auto.
I was thinking about this. Pretty much every role player in the NBA, unless you have an outlier skill like Draymond's, like Iguodala's passing and IQ and size, really. You got to be able to hit shots at an elite clip. You can't just hit them at a pretty good clip. It has to be like wide open, knock it down. Like, I think about the difference between Patrick Beverley and Gary Payton II. Gary Payton II can play some defense. I liked a lot of things I saw from GP2 today. Like, he's good. But if he can't hit open threes, he's not an NBA player.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Justinian Jessup, I see the IQ. I see some of the passing and some of the mid-range stuff. If he can't hit threes at 40%, he's not an NBA player.
Yeah.
I think that's just the way the game's going. Like, you know, like I said, Patrick Beverley, different player than both those guys. Patrick Beverley's not in the NBA if he shoots 30% from three.
No.
He's in the NBA because he can stick an open shot and he's near 10.
Well, JTA. JTA is
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, he got a contract. I was not high on JTA because I was told we watched it. He couldn't shoot.
And then he wasn't shooting for the first like year and a half. Yeah.
And so I get it. Yeah, great feel, great defense, all that. All that's awesome. But like you're saying, if you can't shoot, you're not going to be on the floor. And no, JTA shot 40% from three. Now he's an NBA player. You know, hopefully he shoots more threes. And
if you can't shoot, you better have some sort of outlier like physical gift, like a
7 feet tall, maybe.
Yeah, or like Russell Westbrook exploding to the rim.
Yeah.
Or you know, like Iguodala is like a mediocre shooter, but like a Swiss Army knife offensively and defensively. Or you're just like, I don't care if he can't shoot; he's too good at too many other things. You know,
you brought Iguodala up a couple of times. I would like to see him on this team, man. Not even to play basketball. I would like to see him on this team so he can.
Oh coach yeah, up. I'm thinking about Jonathan Kuminga, and I'm thinking I don't care if Andre Iguodala's back is shot. I need him on the roster for Kuminga.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about it real quick. The Warriors traded Eric Paschal today. Eric Paschal for a second round pick. I'm not surprised because I didn't really see a role for him. Because they signed Otto Porter, they signed Bielitsa. I don't want to say they're, you know, like deep in the front court, but like you got Draymond, you got Otto, you got JTA, you got Wiseman, you got Looney, you got Bielitsa. When is he ever going to play? So trading him for a future pick, I get it just because you need to open up the roster spot, right? Now I'm looking at this roster. They have 12 players under contract right now.
Okay.
All right. Steph, Poole, Clay, Moody, Wiggins, Kuminga, and then the six I mentioned, Draymond, Otto Porter, JTA, Wiseman, Looney, Bielitsa. So that's 12 players. I'm going to assume Damian Lee gets a contract, or he gets his contract guaranteed. It's a non-guarantee right now. So that's 13. What do you want to see them do with those two last roster spots?
You talked about the team having somewhat of a big logjam. I don't know. I feel like they still need one more. In my opinion, they still need front one court? More guy. Yeah, I think Paul Millsap would be a good, like, he's not a true five, but I think Paul Millsap is a perfect veteran big on a couple notes because he can start, he knows how to play the system, and if he's benched, it's fine. Like, this is not a situation where he feels like he had, like, Otto Porter, to me, if he's healthy,
like a Kelly Oubre where
or Oubre.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to play. Millsap is like Zaza, where it's like he gets it, he can shoot a little bit. I mean, not like he's Zaza in terms of he's a vet. But like he'll play a little bit, and if he needs to sit, he'll sit. It's like the end of Bogut's career, right? Like, I think they still need that type of guy in the front court, especially in the regular season. This team is not a super team. They're not winning 60 games, like falling off the, you know, getting out of
bed. No, they need the depth.
Everything. So I think one is Millsap. How about you?
I think, okay, so if we're assuming Damian Lee's on the roster.
Yeah.
I think
Steph says yes.
I think one, Iguodala would be huge for this team. I think having another wing who can play multiple positions and make decisions and being a de facto point guard and all those things would be huge, particularly at this stage. I don't think Andre gives a crap about how many minutes he plays or anything like that. I think he'd be great for Kuminga. I think he'd be great for Moses Moody. Hey, he'd be good for Wiseman. He'd also just be good for Steph and Draymond and those guys. And like feeling like they have another guy that they can count on, someone else who's been there with them, someone who understands the culture. Where I differ from you is I don't think they need another big. I kind of want the last player to be like a guard who can penetrate the defense a little bit. Like Dennis Schroeder's out there. I don't like him. I think.
Wow, you don't.
No, because he's going to.
You've turned.
He's going to want to play for his numbers. He's going to want to play for a big contract next year.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Warriors need that. I would love Reggie Jackson, though. Reggie Jackson.
Okay.
I mean, what we saw from Reggie Jackson last year, perfect player. He also, by the way, 7 foot wingspan. You can play him with Jordan Poole. I think he would give the Warriors an added dimension because I still think this team is missing the element of getting to the rim a little more. So,
yeah,
if I had my way, I'd get those two guys. I don't know if both are attainable, and I'm kind of shocked that Reggie Jackson hasn't committed to the Clippers yet. I kind of still suspect he will. But you could even convince me a different type of guard, an Avery Bradley or a Danny Green would be good, because I'm just looking at this from a defensive, from like a realistic standpoint. Like obviously Steph and Jordan Poole are going to play a lot of minutes. Klay, I don't know when he's coming back, and he will be a on a minutes limit for most of the season. So what else you got in your backcourt? You got Damian Lee who can do certain things. And you got Moody, who I think can play immediately, but that's a lot of pressure on a 19-year-old. So I want one more guard in that rotation, just so I'm not like sitting here going like, Moses Moody, I need you to play 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, we don't want it to be a last year situation. So I think they're making that move because they know that one of those players is coming. Like, I think that it's obvious. It's obvious. They know that. Avery Bradley's going to be, I think Danny Green's out of the picture. I would love to. Sure. I think he's out of the picture, but I think they know that, hey, it's either going to be Avery Bradley or Millsap or someone like that. I do want to end here though with the, Eric Paschal got traded. I mean, he was a very fun player to watch during the tanking season that the Warriors had. So I had high hopes for him last season. He is a fun player to watch, especially when he has the ball in his hands and that mid-range jumper is hitting, right, Sam? Just from the perspective of, is it a loss for the team? I got to say, not really. Just because he's not the type of player, I think, that contributes to winning basketball, at least not in the Warriors.
By the way, he ties in perfect to what we were saying earlier, which is like he can do a lot of good things until that jumper comes around. It's hard to
the three. Yeah, it's never come around. Like the mid-range jumper is there, but it's a mid-range jumper. Like it's not enough. And then defensively, right, he made his impact as a small ball five. It's a little gimmicky. Right, unless you're Draymond Green on defense. And so I think that makes it tough for Paschal. But he had a good few years. I mean, he made first team all rookie, didn't he? And he was in the All-Star game, all that. He was riding on Lakeup's private jet and all that. So I think that was cool for Paschal. And he gets to play with his best friend in Utah. So good for him.
Yeah. Shout out Eric Paschal. By the way, fun night. We will be back, particularly when more signings come. Subscribe. Yep. Rate 5 stars. Appreciate you guys.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.